Our dear Father Ernie Heppner has passed. He was just 7 days or so shy from his 90th birthday. And he's going to be obviously well remembered, especially in this parish. He retired here 20 years ago and certainly was busier than most priests in our diocese after his retirement. All liturgies will be here at St. Mary's Church. Tuesday night, we'll have a vigil liturgy at 6:30, beginning at 6:30, followed by a visitation. And then on Wednesday at 11 o'clock in the morning, we'll have the Mass of Christian Burial, and that'll be presided over by Monsignor Richard Harris, who's the Vicar General of the diocese, representing the bishop, and also happens to be a son of this parish as well. And both liturgies we plan to live stream for those who can't make it. And we pray, of course, that Father Ernie rest in eternal peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever had what you called an epiphany moment? That's something that is suddenly revealed, made manifest, a sudden realization that you have that changes everything about your outlook on life. The epiphany we celebrate today is, in the beautiful and poetic words of St. John in his gospel, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory." We have seen it. The Word being the eternal, invisible God who has entered into time and become visible in his own creation. And the same loving God invites each of us, regardless of our backgrounds, into this light, to seek his light, to seek his truth. You hear St. Paul is just bubbling over with excitement to talk about how he suddenly realized, and he's actually talking about his own epiphany here, he realized that what was promised to the Jews was meant for all the nations. Suddenly he's looking at the Old Testament with fresh eyes, and from the very beginning, when God made that first covenant with Abraham, he told Abraham that he would be the father for all the nations, not just one, but all the nations, Gentiles included. Thank God for that. That's you and me today. Now, unfortunately, it seems that many people in our world today are not very interested in the pursuit of truth, in the light of truth. The words of Pontius Pilate during Jesus' interrogation at his trial are on the lips of so many today. What is truth? If you tell someone in our day that something is true, they are likely to disagree with you right away without even hearing what you said. Have you ever had that happen? They just sort of shut you off because, no, that's your truth, not my truth. Nobody can have truth, you're likely to hear, and I have recently been told. But that statement itself is a problem. First of all, it goes against reason. You can't arbitrarily decide whether gravity is true, or you're in for a world of hurt if you don't understand it. But also, just the very statement itself. To say that no religion, no person can know real truth, the very statement that truth cannot be known, would itself have to be true. Always, everywhere, at all times. You'd have to be true that there is no truth. So it contradicts itself. It falls in on itself. What's going on here is maybe, just maybe, if we are honest enough with ourselves to admit it, we deny there is truth because it is bigger than ourselves. It's something bigger than us. And we can't control it. And there's the word. We can't control it. We can't control God. We cannot have God under our thumb or else we would be God. We are afraid to admit what is staring at us right in the face because it seems to take away our autonomy. It seems to take away our independence, our self-governance. Well, God is king, whether we like it or not, just as much as gravity exists, whether we want to believe in it or not. And the Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God made man, comes not to philosophize, not to merely advise us on a nicer life and how to be a nice person, but he comes as Savior to rule our hearts, starting there, to show us love and real truth. Now, Herod understood this, and he trembled because of it, and he resolved to destroy it. The Magi understood it. They had been looking for it in the stars, but they rejoiced because they knew it. In our hearts, there dwells these two potential responses, that of Herod and that of the Magi. Herod spent his whole life murdering, exploiting, building his personal kingdom ruled by his whims and for personal glory. And you can read all about his history, even outside of biblical texts. He was not a very nice man. Christ enters the scene, who's a king with real authority from on high. And Herod immediately feels not relief, not happiness, but he feels a threat. The Christ is a threat to all of his perceived power, all of it which passes away. The Magi, on the other hand, do not fear the demands that this new king will make on them, on their personal lives. Instead, they rejoice to know that a Savior is finally arriving. And instead of hoarding and protecting their treasures, the fruits of their life's labors, they generously offer them to Christ as gestures of honor and respect and allegiance. King and God and sacrifice is what gold, frankincense, and myrrh stand for. In fact, it's interesting, the gospel word, when it says that they prostrated themselves, it's actually a word that means worship. They worshiped him. Whenever Jesus Christ enters our lives, which he does every day, by the way, through the voice of conscience, through the teachings of his church, and through his providential action, whenever he enters, we must choose our response. We must choose in whose steps we will follow, Herod or the Magi. Either fear at what he may demand of us, or rejoicing at who he is. We possess both possibilities in our hearts. In the words of one theologian of our day, are we not perhaps afraid in some way? If we let Christ enter fully into our lives, if we open ourselves totally to him, are we not afraid that he might take something away from us? Are we not perhaps afraid to give up something significant, something unique, something that makes life so beautiful? Don't we risk ending up being diminished and deprived of our freedom? And the answer is no, of course not. If we let Christ into our lives, we lose nothing. We have everything to gain, literally. Absolutely nothing of what we lose, absolutely nothing of what makes life free and beautiful and great. Only in this friendship are the doors of real life opened wide because we become true friends with the Creator. Only in this friendship is the great potential of human existence truly revealed. Only in this friendship do we experience real freedom. Liberation. Do not be afraid of Christ. We have to grow up, we have to mature, and come to the realization that, of course, there is one God and I am not he, right? God is God, and we are not God. You and I are not meant to control everything. We cannot. We are meant to seek, like the Magi, to find a Savior, to kneel before him like the Magi, and say with our lives, "Thy will be done, not mine. Thy kingdom come, not mine." Truth does exist, and it can be known. And he has a name, the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. And while it may not be popular to say in our culture and day, it remains true. Jesus is still the light for the nations, who invites everyone into friendship with God, who comes to save us from our sins and from ourselves. As the church, who's reflected in Mary in this gospel we just heard, we are called to show the world Jesus, nothing but Jesus, not ourselves and our ideas, not someone else, only Jesus. Do not be afraid of the light of Christ, of his truth and his splendor of his truth. Allow yourself to be enlightened by him. Let yourself be enveloped by his love. You only have your true self to find, and you will find the way of peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand. I believe.